Let us pray. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, Lord, whither shall I go? What did thine only Son endure before I drew my breath? What pain, what anguish to secure my soul from endless death? Father God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Come realizing, Lord, that without you we can do nothing. But through you we can do all things. Lord, it's preaching time. You know every need. You know every situation. You know every circumstance. We pray in the name of Jesus. And speak now the word that will encourage, inspire, uplift, and strengthen. Lead your children who are gathered here on this Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for another preaching opportunity. We pray, O Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name I do pray and give thanks. Amen. Certainly thank God for his presence in this place. Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on Calvary's cross, to the Holy Spirit that gives us comfort and guidance, I do give honor, glory, and praise. To all of these, my cleric colleagues who join me on the rostrum as well as in the pew, to all of you, my brothers and sisters, grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a word from the Lord found in that passage of Scripture read earlier from the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at verse 10 and reading verses 11 and 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. According to the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, you will find these words: blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things about you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets before you in the same way. The word of God for the people of God. I want to talk for just a few minutes from the subject, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Matthew, the writer of our text, was surnamed Levi and was a Jewish tax collector or publican for the Roman government. Thank you, ushers. Because he worked with the Romans, who were hated by the Jews as overlords of their country, Matthew and all publicans were despised by their fellow Jews. But Jesus still called him. And Matthew responded favorably to Jesus' simple call to follow him, and he did. His gospel was written to Jews to answer their questions about Jesus of Nazareth, who claimed to be their Messiah. Was he in fact the anointed one predicted by the Old Testament? If he was, why did he fail to establish the promised kingdom on earth? Will it ever be established? What is God's purpose in the meantime? These were some of the questions Matthew tried to address. So in his gospel, Jesus is often spoken of as the Son of David. And he was the one who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. And the kingdom of heaven that Jesus taught about was not an earthly kingdom that would perish, but an eternal kingdom, one in glory. Matthew's gospel is characterized also by his inclusion of other people outside of the Jewish faith. And in closing verses of his book, he records the great commission to go into all the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Dr. Charles Ryrie writes that the important section in Matthew are the Sermon on the Mount, including the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, the parable of the kingdom, and the Olivet discourse concerning future events. You may wonder, what are the Beatitudes? Well, in the Christian faith, the Beatitudes are a set of teachings by Jesus that appears in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. The term Beatitude comes from a series of words, the Latin word beatus, which means happy, fortunate, and blissful. The Greek word for blessed denotes the highest stage of happiness and well-being, such as enjoyed by God. But here it stands for the Hebrew word asherah and means how happy, as in Psalms 1:1, which says, blessed is the man. Psalms 32:1, which says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Psalms 112:1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandment. So the Beatitude teachings are expressed as 8 blessings in the Sermon on the Mount. Each beatitude consists of 2 parts, the condition and the result. You must first meet the condition if you're going to get the result. Do I have a witness yet? Together, the Beatitudes present a new set of Christian ideals that focus on love and humility rather than on force and demands. They echo the highest ideals of the teachings of Jesus Christ on mercy and compassion. Is that right? There are at least 4 ways to understand the Beatitudes. First, there are a code of ethics for the disciples and standards of conduct for all believers. Is that right? Secondly, they contrast the kingdom values, which are eternal, with worldly values that are temporary. Next, they contrast superficial faith of the Pharisees with real faith of that Christ wants us all to have. And finally, they show how the Old Testament expectation will be fulfilled in the new kingdom. These Beatitudes are not multiple choice. Take some and leave the rest. They must be taken as a whole. Do I have a witness here? They describe what we should be like as followers of Jesus Christ. My sisters and brothers, this is Jesus' first message, his first sermon, and his first explanation of the faith of his followers recorded in the Bible. And he saw fit to open it with blessed. If church folk like anything, it's blessings. If people or we in the church today want anything, it's a blessing. If us sisters and brothers desire anything from the God, it's blessing. That's why you can sometimes hear us saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. Or I'm too stressed to be blessed. Or when praises go up, blessings come down. Or God's got a blessing with my name on it. Do I have a witness in here? Sisters and brothers, we like blessings, but these are different blessings. Do I have a witness? They are not the kind you can hold on or carry around in your pocket, or you can put in your wallet or in your bank account, or the kind that you can drive around in, or you can hang on your wall or put it on yourself. These are blessings that come with discomfort and some pain. Do I have a witness here? Jesus sums them up in these three verses. Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil about you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Because so persecuted they the prophets who came before you. Am I right about it? In other words, Jesus says it's a blessing when you are attacked, talked about, criticized for his sake. But don't take it personal. It's a blessing when you do good, but people label you as a wrongdoer. But don't take it personal. It's a blessing when people look for fault, look for cracks, and look for chinks in your Christian armor, but don't take it personal. If we are going to do anything, Jesus said we ought to rejoice. Oh, like y'all was doing earlier. But it's hard to rejoice when folks are running you down, putting you down, talking you down. Do I have a witness in here? It's easy to shout when everybody's on your bandwagon, everybody's singing your praises, but Jesus said, rejoice. Yeah. I believe I heard Sister Edna singing about it in that song. Yeah. Y'all mighty quiet in here. Amen. He says, rejoice, because it's familiar territory. Am I right about it? Don't take it personal. Now, I'm not here to tell you that it's going to be easy when it comes to taking things personal when you are unfairly, unjustly treated. But I can tell you, you're not the first, and you won't be the last. I can't tell you that it won't hurt when people who you consider your sisters and brothers in Christ run you down behind your back and criticize your every move. But I can tell you, you're in good company. I can't tell you everybody who has been baptized will act like they've been buried their sins in the water, but I can tell you God sees and knows all of our burdens. I can't tell you that suffering for righteousness' sake will feel like a blessing, but I can tell you it will make you better and it will make you stronger. So don't take it personal. Walt Kelly said, every burden is a blessing. Richard Bach said, there's no disaster that can't become a blessing, and no blessing that can't become a disaster. Alan Cohen said, be grateful. To be grateful is to find blessings in everything. This is the most powerful attitude to adopt, for there is a blessing in everything. Helen Keller, who was deaf and blind, wrote, the struggle of life is one of our greatest blessings. It makes us patient, sensitive, and godlike. It teaches us that although the world is full of suffering, it's also full of blessings when we overcome them. What does that mean, preacher? Well, sisters and brothers, sometimes what people use to trip us up, God will use to lift us up. What they use to knock us down, God will use to help us stand. What they use to hinder us, God will use it to help us. And what they think will be a burden, God will turn it into a blessing. So don't take it personal. Just a few years ago, Olympic champion Gabrielle Douglas, at the age of 16, was on the verge of winning the gold medal. And all her haters could focus on was her hair. But she still went on to become the first African-American Olympian to win the all-around gymnastic gold medal. And today she is making millions of dollars in commercials because she didn't take it personal. Sisters and brothers, when we take stuff personal, it has a way of holding us down, keeping us back, blocking our path, and obscuring our way. So don't take it personal. Jesus did not then, and he does not now, want his disciples to be under any misconceptions about the cost of following him and serving God. Serving God, sisters and brothers, comes with a cost. It costs prophets like Moses, who was ridiculed, misunderstood, and talked about. It costs prophets like Elijah, who became a fugitive with a death warrant on his head. It costs prophets like Isaiah, who legend says was slain by being sawn in half while in a hollow log. It costs prophets like Jeremiah, who was disowned by his family and thrown down in a dungeon. It costs prophets like Ezekiel, who was labeled as a lunatic by other religious leaders. It costs Old Testament judges like Gideon, whose tribe was about to kill him for tearing down the altars of Baal. It costs prophets like Samuel, who lived a lonely life away from his family. It costs prophetess like Deborah, who stood alone in her faith that the Lord would make a way and give Israel the victory. It costs New Testament era prophets like John the Baptist, who lost his head for telling the truth. It costs James and John, who were persecuted. It costs Peter and Paul, who were both killed for preaching the gospel. And you do know it costs Jesus, who was accused of casting out devils by the devil. And he ultimately lost his life on Calvary's cross, but he didn't take it personal. Get that right? On the tail end of the blessed passages, Jesus connects tithes and chooses to conclude this part of his sermon with what for me seems like a ministry reality check. Everybody wants to be blessed, but it's a different kind of blessing. Everybody wants to be favored, but this is a different kind of favor. Everybody wants to be promoted, but this is a different kind of promotion. And everybody wants to move to the next level, but this is a different kind of level. You see, these blessings, this favor, this promotion, and this level of service comes with some pain, and it comes with some disappointment. It comes with some criticism, and it comes with some unfavorable and unfair critiques. It comes with some unwarranted attacks. And the truth is, most of us know that when we follow the Lord, when we're on the battlefield, there may be some times where we're wounded. You have a witness? If you look at what we often hear today in this era of health, wealth, and prosperity, you wouldn't think that preaching the gospel, following Jesus, serving the Lord, and making yourself available to the Master would cost anything. But it does. It's hard to count hardships as blessings. But if Jesus is right, we have to learn how to do it. It's difficult to add personal attacks to the list of good fortune. But if James was right when he wrote, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, we have to learn to do it. It's not easy to look at our trials and troubles as good things, but if Peter is right when he wrote, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which come upon you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. We have to learn to do it. It's not easy to task to add burdens to the list of blessings. But if Paul was right when he wrote, so that no one would be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. Sisters and brothers, we have to learn to do it. Our ancestors, they learned how to bear their burdens in the heat of the day, because they believed in a God who was just, a righteous God, and a fair God who someday would put things in proper order and set the record straight. They learned how to hold on anyhow, because they believed in a God who, like my mother said, sits high but looks low. They believed in a God who was a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. And they believed in a God who may not come when you want him, but is always on time. So when you're on the battlefield, you may get wounded, but don't take it personal. When you're holding up the bloodstained banner and people put you down, don't take it personal. When you're running the best race you can and somebody tries to trip you up, don't take it personal. And when you support others but they don't support you, don't take it personal. Jesus expects his disciples, his servants, his soldiers to have tough ministry skin, because the message that they would have to carry to others would not be a popular one. The people they were sent to go to would not always accept them. And the places that they would have to visit would not always put out the welcome mat. But they were not to take it personal, because a rejection of the message is a rejection of the master. A rejection of the one who is sent is a rejection of the one who sent them. And a rejection of the messenger is a rejection of the one who gave the message. That's why Jesus said, he who receives you receives me. Those who are praised in the gospel were men and women of humility, love, trust, fidelity, and courage. They may not have been perfect, but they were converted. And God's servants must remain true, even at the risk of their lives. And Jesus expected his followers to be persecuted. That's why he said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When we take it personal, we want to blame somebody. But when we don't take it personal, no matter what's going on in our lives, God is all right with us, and we are all right with the Lord. Is God all right with you? Are you all right with God? Now, sisters and brothers, there are some things that we should take personal, as well as those things that we shouldn't. That is what has been the issue throughout church history. The things that should not be taken personal are, and the things that should be taken personal are not. People have left the churches in droves, because they have taken the personal attacks of Satan personally. Pastors have vacated pulpits, and members have deserted pews because they took stuff personal that they shouldn't have. Because when we are on the battlefield, we are subject to be wounded. We may be injured, but we have to stay on the battlefield. Do I have a witness? Unmerited attacks, vicious lies, unfair criticism, and false innuendos. These are some things that you don't take personal. But Jesus didn't end there. These are some things that we might run into serving the Lord. But Jesus didn't end there. These are some things that might come with the territory, but Jesus didn't end them. Yes, there are some things that we ought not take personal, but there are some things in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we ought to take personal. Do I have a witness in him? When Jesus said, let your light so shine before the world that men may see your good works and yet glorify your Father which is in heaven, we ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, but I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother or sister without a cause is in danger of the judgment. We ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember your brother or sister have ought against you, leave your gift at the altar and be reconciled to your brother and sister. We ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, we ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, for if you forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you won't forgive, he won't forgive you either. We ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you, we ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, we ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, ask and you shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened, we ought to take that personal. When Jesus said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men would do to you, you ought to do the same to them. We ought to take that personal. Do I have a witness in here? Well, sisters and brothers, I've held you too long, but I'm reminded of an old story about a farmer who had an old donkey who had outlived his usefulness. He wanted to get rid of the donkey, and he had an old well that had run dry. So he got a few of his friends, got a hold of that old donkey, threw the donkey down the well. When the old donkey hit the bottom of the well, he started hee-hawing in pain. The farmer asked his friend, will you help me to fill up the well with dirt? So they got some shovels and started throwing dirt in the well. And all the while, you could hear the donkey heeing and hawing, shovel after shovel. They were covering up that old well. But after a while, they noticed the donkey wasn't making any noise. When they looked down in the well, they saw something amazing. Every time they threw dirt into the well, it landed on the donkey's back, and the donkey would shake it off, pack it under his hooves, and kept on moving. Every time they threw some dirt on the back, the donkey would shake it off, pack it under his hood, and move up a little higher. Finally, they threw in enough dirt, and the donkey shook off enough dirt, packed enough dirt under his feet, that it was able to walk out of the well on its own. And that's what I want to leave you with. Maybe you've taken some dirt, you've taken some trash, and a lot of garbage off a lot of folk, but don't get mad, don't get even, hold your peace, shake it off,
little higher. If you've been duped and you've been scorned, don't worry about it. Keep your cool, shake it off, and move onward and upward. That's what Joseph did. That's why he was able to say to his brothers, "Bad ass for you. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Isaiah knew something about it. That's why he wrote, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The psalmist knew something about this. That's why he wrote, "When the wicked, even my enemies and foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. But wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." The hymn writer knew something about this. That's why she wrote, "But if you try and fail in your trying, hands torn and scarred from the work you begun, take up your cross, run quickly to meet him. He'll understand and say, 'Well done.' Oh, when I come to the end of my journey, weary of life and the battle won, carrying the staff and the cross for repentance, he'll understand and say, 'Well done.' Ain't it all right?" So sisters and brothers, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful, no matter how heavy, no matter how aggravating, and no matter how dismal, God will still bless you in the midst of it all. When the hurt goes deep, when the road gets rough, when the nights get long, when the future gets bleak, God will still bless you in the midst of it all. The psalmist knew something about it. That's why he said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. Ain't it all right? Hey, ain't it all right? Jesus knew something about this. That's why he was on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They did not know, but God did. They talked about him saving others, but he couldn't save himself. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. And he died. They laid him in a borrowed tomb and counted him out. But 3 days later, y'all know what happened. He got up. He got up with all power in his hand. So when people put you down, worry about it. You're coming back when others lie on you. Don't worry about it, because no lie can live forever. when they wrongfully push you down, don't worry about it, because true customers will rise again. When people throw rocks and hide their heads, don't worry about it, because we know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and those who are called according to His purpose. When others try to block your way, don't worry about it. God has a way out of no way. When the way gets dark, can't see your way clear, don't worry about it, because I hear right and right. Be not dismayed, whatever time. Personal, but feeding the hungry, take that personal. Clothing the naked, take that personal. Visiting the sick, take that personal. Minister to the hurting, take that personal. Mentoring young folk, take that personal. Mentor tutoring the unlearned, take that personal. And if we take it personal, we will find out that the hereafter is right. If when you give the best of your service, telling the world the Savior has come, be not dismayed. When friends don't believe you, He'll understand. He'll understand. Won't He understand? And say, well done. Ain't He all right? Have you tried Him? Ain't He all right? Have you tried Him? Ain't He all right? So keep pressing on the upward way. No heights we're gaining every day. Keep praying as you're onward bound. Lord, 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 let my feet on high ground. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. We are soldiers on the battlefield for the Lord. Every now and then we get wounded, but we got to stay on the field. Am I right about it? If you stay on the field, one day you'll get your orders. Come on home.